friends, let us have a moment of prayer. God, on this sacred and holy night, we pray that you will light a fire of passion within us that inspires us to continue the next 365 days of our lives, keeping this night fresh in our minds and in our hearts. God, help us to see this night as a reminder of what you've done for us. Help us keep this spirit of Christmas, this spirit of thankfulness, this spirit of generosity all the way through Easter, all the way through the hot days of the summer, all the way through going back to school and the fall, right back to right here, this day, next year. We pray for these things in your holy name. Amen. There's so much about this scene that means a lot, much more than words could say. How was Jesus born? With the best doctors? No doctor, actually. With midwives and trained nurses around? No. With the best hospitals and the best hospital bed and the best sheets? No. Jesus, the Savior of the world, was told, sorry, there's no room for you. Go be born somewhere else. Jesus, the Savior of the world, didn't even have a crib. His parents were not wealthy. In fact, Mary was from a town so insignificant that it didn't even appear on maps 2,000 years ago. Jesus' mother, you could have said in those days, was literally nobody from nowhere. And yet, that is who God chose to do this best thing ever. Yes, Christians are celebrating this tonight. But I think even non-Christians would have to admit that this event changed the world, whether they believe in it or not. The whole course of human history was changed when this Savior was born. I just had a son 2 weeks ago, and it was nothing like that. Right. We had the best. I had a bed next to her in the hospital room. There were doctors and nurses. There must have been 14 people in that room at one point. They treat you very, very well. Who am I? I'm certainly not the Savior of the world. But God was preaching to us that day that God doesn't care how much money you've got. God doesn't care what title you've got. God doesn't care what town you come from. God cares about your heart. And Mary had a great heart for God, perhaps the best around. This nobody from nowhere was, in fact, at the top of God's list. I don't know about you, but that's the only list I want to be on the top of. Amen? Amen. What happened because of that? Mary, 14 years old. 14. Chosen to be the mother of God. So much, as I said, going on at that scene. Jesus, no crib, laid in a wooden box that animals eat out of. That's the king of the Jews, laying in a wooden bin. But at the same time, wasn't that all they needed? Wasn't it all we needed to be saved? On our Advent wreath, hope, peace, joy, and love. My question this year for each of them has been, in my own discernment, what kind and for who? What kind of hope are we talking about? Hope that the Eagles win the Super Bowl? It'd be nice. Might even say again for some of the non-Eagles fans in the crowd. But God doesn't care about that, right? Hope for what? What kind of hope? This is a hope far deeper than hoping that a particular thing is under that Christmas tree as we speak. This is far greater than hoping that Santa will bring a particular thing for us to play with tomorrow. This is a hope that will never dwindle. I think we've all been there. We overused our favorite toy, and then we didn't even want to look at it anymore. The gifts that Jesus brings never get old. They never expire. 2,000 years later, we're still here talking about it. The church has been through a lot in 2,000 years. The church is going through a lot right now, but the church is still here because we've got God on our side. That's the hope that we're talking about. The hope that even in the worst of days, better things are in store for us. Hope that even if we might not have the job that we want, someday we might find true happiness. The scriptures say, those who are walking in darkness have seen a great light. That's the hope that we're talking about. Friends, have you ever felt like you were walking in darkness? And all around you was nothing but darkness. But imagine if in the midst of that darkness, you see a light. That's why we light the Advent wreath. All of these lights, they are the light of Christ. And in a little while, they will be shining in the darkness. And if you're in a dark room, and there's even one light shining, where do your eyes go? Straight to that light. Because that is the hope. We might not even know what's on the other side of that light, but it's attractive. We want it. We want to get closer to it. We want it in our lives. That's the hope that Jesus brings. Hope that even though I did that thing that I shouldn't have, God will forgive me. Hope that even though I'm dearly missing particular people this Christmas, I'll see them again. Hope that the first coming of Christ was not the last, that Jesus will come back. And when Jesus comes back, good will triumph over evil, and everything will be made right. And there will be no more crying and no more pain. There will be no more sickness. This is hope that one day, cancer will be a thing of the past. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. This is hope that one day, hate will be a thing of the past. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. That's the hope that we're talking about. Peace. What kind of peace and for who? This is the peace that calms us even in our worst days. This is the peace that enters into funerals and grief. This is the peace that enters into when we lose a job or we miss out on the job that we wanted. This is the peace that when somebody we love hurts us, we know that we can always go back to this baby boy, our rock. This is a peace that cannot be moved, a peace that will always be there when we need it. For who? For everyone. Everyone. Not just the rich and powerful. In fact, in God's eyes, they're fine, right? Who did God come to first with this best news? The shepherds, the outcasts of society. People didn't want to see them. They didn't want to smell them. They said, you stay out in your fields and you tend your flock. It's those people, those who were pushed away, that God proclaimed this great news to first. So friends, whenever you're feeling pushed away, whenever you're feeling not good enough, whenever you might have been told that you weren't good enough, that's not God talking. You are good enough for God because God made you. I pray that that brings you peace this Christmas. The fact that you are special and unique, that God wanted you here, and that there is nothing on this earth that can ever take away your value in God's eyes. And that should give you great joy. What kind of joy? And for who? Again, for all people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. This is a thing that was done for all the people. And that's a thing that Jesus would carry throughout his life. Go and baptize all nations in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Let the whole world know that I love them. Nobody is too insignificant. Joy is different than happiness. Happiness is kind of environmental. It comes and it goes. It is dependent upon factors. Something good happens, we get happy. 2 minutes later, something bad can happen and our happiness is gone. Joy is different than that. Joy is a feeling of pleasure even in the midst of sadness. Joy is not environmental or temporary. The joy that Jesus brought into the world, especially for the oppressed, especially for those who lived and believed in him, was that even if I'm in exile, even if I'm pushed away, even if I'm made fun of, even if I'm outcasted, God loves me. Jesus loves me. And the Holy Spirit was sent to give me everything I need. Yes, bad things happen. Did bad things happen to you this year? Yeah, probably all of us. But joy is something that can enter into that pain and maybe weaken it a little bit. Joy is something different than happiness, something more eternal than happiness. The joy of Christ is that, yes, even though people die, there's good news in the end. And love. God's love knows no limits. God's love cannot be lost. It's we that go away from God, not God that goes away from us. God's love is always there waiting for you. The song says, love came down at Christmas. For God so loved the world that he gave this for you. And as we said before, we can't help but feel a little bit of Easter in the air today. Because this baby would grow up and would love you so much that he would go on that cross for you. That he would die for you and he would rise again for you so that you also can have eternal life and live in the kingdom of God where there is nothing exists but God's great love. In amounts and in ways that cannot be shaken. Hope, peace, joy, and love. Eternal. And for all of you. That's what's being offered this Christmas day. And in the middle of all of it, at the center of all of it, is Jesus the Christ. All of these things working together in a circle. Each one of them in a circle for a purpose. Why do we wear wedding rings? Because they fit on our finger, yes. But a wedding ring is a circle representing your love for each other, also representing God's love for you. A circle, like God's love, never ends. If you trace the outside of a circle, you can just keep going and going and going, and it never, ever stops. The hope, peace, joy, and love of God also never stops. It is evergreen, like these poinsettias and like this garland. All these greens, Christmas trees. Why do we put evergreens in our house? Because they never die, just like the hope and peace and joy and love of Christ. Let us pray. God, help us to see and feel your hope, peace, joy, and love this night in such powerful and holy ways that we can't help but notice them and claim them for ourselves God, help us to see that we have the power and authority to push away all negative things and say, no, my life will be about you and your hope and your peace, your joy and your love. God, we thank you that on that first Christmas day, all of these things were given to us. We didn't deserve it then, and we probably still don't. But God, you gave it to us anyway. And that is what we call grace. Your love, even when we haven't deserved it. God, help us always to be thankful. We pray for all these things in your holy name. Amen. Friends, Jesus Christ is born. This humble birth scene is for you. Amen. The duty of a Christian is to respond to God's call and to God's words. Our response right now is to sing our hymn of peace. As we remain seated, we will sing number 217, Away in a Manger. Them to read.